The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we finally made it, guys. We made it to episode 69. All right. at Rob Gronkowski's favorite episode, 69. You said 69. Well, now that we got the immaturity out of the way, it's episode 69, guys. We made it. We've made it all the way here. So insert your immature laugh here. Because I said 69. Anyways, let's talk about my fantasy baseball playoffs. Last week, two of my teams, they made the playoffs. And unfortunately, one of them I just barely lost. My fantasy team where I am the New York Yankees, I lost literally by 1 point last night. It was crazy. We were literally back and forth all week. And then I lose. Last game of the night, by the way, too. So that sucked. But I did end up winning in my league that I'm the commissioner of. I did end up moving on just barely in that one as well. But now this week I will be facing off against the boys of summer. And he beat me in fantasy basketball, and he actually ended up winning the championship in my basketball league. So my hopes are really not high, especially because he won my baseball league a couple years ago, too. So we'll see how it goes against David. He's always kicking everybody's ass, but hopefully I'm able to finally kick his ass this year. All right, so let's get right into the week two recap of the NFL. We had a crazy weekend of football. We had another overtime game, and we had a couple of fourth quarter comebacks, which were just crazy. So let's just get it started. Let's start with kind of the snooze fest of the weekend was the New England Patriots at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Patriots ended up getting the win 17-14. The game went exactly how I expected it to go. It was pretty quiet throughout the majority of it. It was 3-0 for a while, then 10-3 for a while. And then the Patriots did score a couple of touchdowns. So they looked pretty solid, but I mean, against a very porous Pittsburgh Steelers team, whose offense looked very awful. I mean, geez, they were horrendous. And defensively, they weren't that bad, but they weren't that great either. So not a good showing from the Steelers, and an okay showing from the Patriots. Mac Jones didn't have a terrible day. He went 21 for 35 with 252 yards and a touchdown. Their running back Harris, he had 71 yards with a touchdown, and then Nelson Agholor. Their wide receiver, he had 6 receptions for 110 yards and a touchdown. So that game went about as expected. Then a crazy game was the New York Jets versus the Cleveland Browns. Now, Cleveland had the lead of this game for the majority of the way, and then they just fell apart in the fourth quarter. So the Jets ended up actually getting the win, 31-30. Like I said, the Browns had the lead for the majority of the game. It was kind of close. But, I mean, it really looked like the Browns were just going to, they were going to win it. And, you know, Nick Chubb, he had 17 carries for 87 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the Jets, they just kept battling back. And they ended up scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter. And they did take the lead. And then the Browns did have a final drive. But unfortunately for them, Jacoby Brissett just threw a bad interception. And game ended for the Jets in a victory. Joe Flacco had a pretty damn good game. He went 26 for 44, 307 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So I guess Joe Flacco's actually not that washed up, because those are some pretty good stats for a backup quarterback. And then their wide receiver, Wilson, he had 8 receptions, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So it was a crazy game for the Jets. And we'll see what happens with the Browns, because they've got to quit quick turnaround this week while they will be playing Thursday night football. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the Detroit Lions. Detroit basically dominated this game from start to finish for the most part. They ended up winning 36-27, getting their first home win of the season. Carson Wentz actually didn't have that horrible of a game. He went 30 for 46 with 337 yards and three touchdowns. It was really the Amon-Ra St. Brown show yesterday for the Detroit wide receiver. He ended up having 9 receptions for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he also had 2 carries for 68 yards. He just had a huge game yesterday. And the Detroit Lions offense, they played pretty well, but their defense also showed out. Their rookie defensive end, he had a couple of sacks. Hutchinson, actually, he had 3 sacks, which is actually a rookie record for a Lions single game. He had 3 sacks. So great game from them offensively and defensively, and a very poor showing from the Commanders other than Carson Wentz, really. Then you had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. That went about how I expected it to go. It was pretty much close the entire game. It was 3-0 Saints all the way until the third quarter when the Buccaneers finally scored a field goal. And it was tied until the fourth quarter. And then finally in the fourth quarter, the Buccaneers started to get it going. And then Jameis Winston started to show who he really is. He ended up throwing 3 interceptions in the second half. One ended up being for a touchdown run back. So Jameis Winston do what Jameis Winston do, throw all those interceptions. It was a very defensive game by both defenses. It was just, like I said, it was 3-0 and then 3-3 for the longest time. It was like, is anybody going to score some points here? But finally, the Bucs started to get it going a little bit offensively. Then this big moment happened. Mostly what everybody's been talking about in this game is, Marcus Lattimore and Mike Evans have always kind of had a back and forth with each other over the last few years. As a matter of fact, there is a big rivalry right now between the Buccaneers and the Saints over the last, since 2017, there's basically been a fight or some type of scuffle in every game that they've played over the years since then. So between Evans and Lattimore, they've always gone back and forth with each other the last couple years, and there was this one point in the game where Lattimore, he got frustrated at something. He said something to Evans on the sideline, and then as he's walking by Tom Brady, he says something, and Tom Brady kind of looks at him and goes, "Fuck you, you little bitch." Could literally read his lips. It was hilarious. Then he kind of acted like he was going to walk in at Tom Brady, but then Leonard Fournette and Mike Evans stepped in, and they basically started pushing each other, kind of got in a little scuffle. Really, the only one who's going to suffer any consequences from this is Mike Evans. He was suspended today. They suspended him for a game, and he is going to appeal that suspension, so he probably won't miss the game he might miss this week's game. It depends on how fast the appeal goes, but he's going to be out for a game. And the Buccaneers finally got a win over the Saints in the regular season, which has been their Achilles heel for the last couple of years, especially since Tom Brady took over at quarterback. But overall, it was a very, very mediocre game offensively, but great game for both defenses. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the New York Giants. The Giants ended up getting the win, and they are 2-0 for the first time in years. They won 19-16. It was a close game, actually, throughout. It was mostly field goal fest for the first half. Then both teams finally got a couple of touchdowns to go. Daniel Jones had a pretty solid day, went 22 for 34 and 176 yards and a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey, he had 15 carries for 102 yards for the Panthers. But overall, it was just a very quiet day. Giants got the win, and the Panthers did not get a win. They are now 0-2. It kind of makes you wonder if Matt Rhule is eventually going to be the first coach fired this season. It's because right now they're 0-2. They didn't do anything to really take care of their quarterback woes in the offseason, and now here they are 0-2. So we'll see what happens as the rest of the season goes on. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. This ended up being an ass-kicking by the Jaguars. They ended up winning 24-0. Now, the Colts right now are looking like the worst team in the league at this current point. I mean, last week, they couldn't get it going against the Houston Texans. They finally did in the second half, but the game ended in a tie. And then this week, they can't even score 1 point against the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, granted, they are on the upswing, and they are not as horrible as usual, but I mean, come on, it's still the Jaguars, and you should be scoring at least a couple of points here, but they didn't score 1 point. Trevor Lawrence had a very solid day. He went 25 for 30 and 235 yards and two touchdowns. James Robinson, their running back, he had 23 carries for 64 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, it's kind of hilarious that the Colts owner called out Carson Wentz over the offseason, basically saying that it was a disaster that they traded for him and that they're happy that they've got Matt Ryan. But so far, that change at quarterback has not served them well. Then moving on to what I believe was the game of the day, the Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. So this was complete and utter domination by the Baltimore Ravens all the way up until the fourth quarter. The Ravens actually had the lead going into the fourth quarter. It was 35-14 going into the fourth quarter. But the Dolphins ended up going on a huge rampage in the fourth quarter, ended up getting scoring 28 points in the fourth quarter and getting the win. They won 42-38. This was a very impressive day for both quarterbacks. Tua Tagovailoa went 36 for 50 with 469 yards and six touchdowns. Lamar Jackson went 21 for 29, 318 yards, three touchdowns. He also had nine carries on the ground for 119 yards and another touchdown. He actually had a career long of like a 74-yard touchdown. Then Tyreek Hill had an insane day, 11 receptions, 190 yards, and two touchdowns. Jaylen Waddle also had two touchdowns as well. This was just an extremely offensive game. You know, the Ravens, like I said, they really dominated the game. It's kind of crazy how their defense started to fall apart. But, I mean, this Miami Dolphins offense is really fast and really difficult to contain. And when you've got Tyreek Hill on one side, Jaylen Waddle on another, and then you've got their ground attack as well, which it's nothing to laugh at. But they just look really good offensively, and they were able to come back and have this huge comeback and get the win in Baltimore. But you can't say anything bad about the Baltimore Ravens either, other than they did give up a huge lead. But Lamar Jackson, man, this guy is having a hell of a season, and you know, this is a contract year for him too. So, the better he plays, the more money he's going to get in the offseason. All right, and then moving on to the afternoon games. The Cincinnati Bengals at the Dallas Cowboys. Very surprising game. You know, I actually predicted the final score correctly. It ended up being a Cowboys win, 20-17, which was very shocking. You know, I kind of expected this to be a... I mean, with the way the offense performed last week, you really had no idea what to expect this week. And the Cowboys actually came out in the first half and really dominated, especially on the defensive side of things. Man, they sacked Joe Burrow six times. Micah Parsons had two more sacks. You know, he started the season off with two sacks against Tom Brady in week one. This week he has two sacks against Joe Burrow. He actually has more sacks to start his first 2 years in his career than any defensive player to start their career ever. And I think he's got, what, like 18, 19 career total sacks so far. So Micah Parsons is really showing that he is the future at defense, and he's going to be dominating for years. And he's just such a game changer on the defensive side of ball, and they really took care of business, especially in the first half. It was very odd with the play calling the second half. You could kind of tell that they were just playing more conservative, which I think was an issue. But lucky for them, their defense was able to hold it down the complete game. And the Cowboys ended up getting the win. You know, the Bengals ended up tying it up in the fourth quarter, but the Cowboys were able to get into field goal range. And Brett Maher hit the game-winning 50-yard field goal to walk it off. Cooper Rush, he went 19 for 31, 235 yards and a touchdown. So he had a solid day. And he was finding Noah Brown all day, five receptions, 91 yards and a touchdown. So it was just an all-around shocking day for my Cowboys, because I really, you know, while I picked them to win, that was more just my fandom picking them to win. But hey, they got the win. Happy they got the win. And we got the Giants up next Monday night. All right, and then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Los Angeles Rams. For the most part, this was a Rams runaway, but then the Falcons decided to make it an interesting game towards the end. They ended up scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter, but the Rams would still hang on for the win, 31-27. Matthew Stafford bounced back huge this week. He went 27-36, 272 yards and three touchdowns. Cooper Kupp had a great game, 11 receptions, 108 yards and two touchdowns. And then Daryl Henderson, he had 10 carries, 47 yards and a touchdown. So overall, really good day. Jalen Ramsey also had a huge interception. When the Falcons were driving, it looked like the Falcons were getting ready to score or at least get into scoring position to either tie up this game or win the game. And what ended up happening is Marcus Mariota just threw a bad pass. Jalen Ramsey snagged the interception, and that's how that game ended up. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers ended up getting a win 27-7. That was not the shocking part. The shocking part was basically the game started off with Trey Lance breaking his ankle, and Jimmy Garoppolo ended up coming in and saving the day for the 49ers. And Trey Lance is going to be out for the season. He broke his ankle. He had surgery today, and he is done for the year. So I guess it's a good thing they did end up hanging on to Jimmy Garoppolo, even though I don't think that was their plan. It just happened that way. Nobody really wanted to trade for him because of his shoulder injury in the offseason. But hey, looks like it worked out for the 49ers. You could tell that the team was very excited to have Jimmy G back in. So we'll see how the rest of the season goes for the Niners. But that was a very interesting turn of events that happened for them. And it was also really stupid, too, because in the press conference, one of the reporters was basically questioning Coach Shanahan about having Trey Lance run, because basically Trey Lance got hurt on a quarterback running play. He was running out to the side, and he got tackled. That happens all the fucking time. Or sometimes you just get up and you're back. And a reporter was basically questioning, do you think that was the right call to have the quarterback run the ball? And Kyle Shanahan was like, yeah, that's a play. That's called a football play. It's what we do. Injuries are a part of the game. I swear to God, it's like we want to bubble wrap every freaking quarterback in the league. It's just so fucking ridiculous. Sorry, injuries happen. They're always going to happen, no matter how many stupid, idiotic rules you put into place, and no matter how many plays you call. He could break his ankle by dropping back to pass and getting sacked by somebody. So it doesn't matter whether he's running or just dropping back to pass. That's what kind of a quarterback he is, a running quarterback, and you want them to run. So that was ridiculous to me that they even questioned that. And I was glad that the response from Kyle Shanahan as well, because that was ridiculous. He should be running because he's a running quarterback. There are many quarterbacks in this league. Like I just said before when we were discussing the Baltimore Ravens game, Lamar Jackson ran for the for 78 yards on one play. Sorry, that's going to happen. And yeah, there's a chance he's going to get injured, but there's a chance everybody's going to get injured because they're playing football. Anyways, then we had the boringest game of the week, which, of course, included the Houston Texans at the Denver Broncos, who just cannot get going offensively. Now, granted, they are working. You know, they've got a brand new coach, got a brand new quarterback. So that means it's a brand new system. And they also, you know, starters don't play the preseason anymore. So basically the first month of the season is really just kind of getting to know your system and really working out the kinks. So there's going to be a huge learning curve for certain teams who already have a certain amount of chemistry, which the Broncos have no chemistry because it's a brand new team. The Broncos did end up getting the win 16-9. But it was a struggle for them. I mean, it was, it was 9-6 Texans in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, the Broncos finally started to get it going. Russell Wilson had a pretty mediocre day where he went 14-31, 219 yards and a touchdown. And, Sutton ended up being the wide receiver he was looking at all day. He had 122 yards on the day. So the Broncos offense, very, very quiet in their first two games so far. Then we had another thriller between the Arizona Cardinals and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders were dominating this game all the way up until the fourth quarter. The Raiders had the lead 20-0 at one point. Then at the in the third quarter, the Cardinals finally started to get it going. But then they ended up scoring 16 points in the fourth quarter. They had a couple of huge drives in which they had to score. Not only did they need the touchdown, but they needed the two-point conversions. And, man, Kyler Murray made some huge plays with those two-point conversions, especially the last two-point conversion. I mean, actually, both were very impressive, but the last one was just a dart. He threw this pass that was just so beautiful where it was literally placed where only the receiver could catch it. So he had some zip on that ball. And then in overtime, it was very, very interesting because, you know, the Raiders defense actually held it down. They were able to get the Cardinals off the field pretty quick. But the Raiders offense let them down. You know, first they're driving and then Hunter Renfrow, he has a fumble, but lucky for him, one of his teammates is there to get the fumble. And so no loss there. But then about two plays later, get the ball right back to Renfrow. And unfortunately for him this time, he fumbles again and it pops right into the area of the Cardinals where they're just able to scoop it up and run it back for a touchdown. And that's how they ended up getting the 29-23 win. Kyler Murray ended up going 31-49 with 277 yards and a touchdown. Josh Jacobs for the Raiders, he had 19 carries for 69 yards. And Zach Ertz for the Cardinals had 8 receptions and 75 yards, which it was just a crazy game. I felt like the Dolphins-Ravens game was slightly better just because it was a bit more competitive throughout. But this Cardinals-Raiders game was also very, just the way it ended was insane. And then to round out week two, we had, or Sunday night of week two, we had the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers, and this went about as expected. I really expected the Packers to come out and just absolutely dominate because they are the much better team. They did end up getting the win 27-10. Aaron Rodgers went 19 for 25, 234 yards and 2 touchdowns. Aaron Jones, who was really the workhorse for this game, he had 15 carries, 132 yards and a touchdown. And Sammy Watkins seemed to have it going with Aaron Rodgers for the night. He had 3 receptions for 93 yards. So nice bounce back game for the Packers. Tonight for Monday night, we actually have 2 Monday night games. Currently, right now, we have the Tennessee Titans at the Buffalo Bills. That game is on right now. Right now, it's tied at 7 in the first quarter. Right now, the Buffalo Bills are favored by 9.5 points. That's kind of what I expected from them. I really expect them to absolutely dominate this game. I don't really expect much from the Titans. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up offensively at all with the Buffalo Bills. So while it's 7-7 right now, I think the final score is going to end up being 35-20 Buffalo Bills. Then the second game, which should be starting here in about a half hour, is the Minnesota Vikings at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 2.5 point favorite. Overall, I really think the Vikings are a much better team, but unfortunately for them, this is a Monday night game, and Kirk Cousins has never fared well on Monday night games, Sunday night games. He just seems to always crumble on those games, so that's always something you want to keep in mind with him. But the Eagles, you know, a lot of people are riding high on this Eagles team, and I haven't seen any type of spark from them. Now, granted, I do hate the Eagles, so it's going to take a lot for me to actually give them any type of credit. But, I mean, after week one, whoop-de-doo, they beat the Detroit Lions. So we'll see what they could do tonight. I think the Minnesota Vikings, like I said, are the better team. I think offensively they have a lot more going on, and they're able to score a lot more points than the Eagles. The Eagles' ground attack is really good, but I think the Vikings are going to be able to their defense is going to hold it down, and I think they'll do enough offensively and defensively to get the win. And I've got the Vikings winning this matchup 24-14. All right, now moving on to my top 10 MLB power rankings. Starting off at number one, it's been the same stupid team for, God, like 2 months now. Stupid Los Angeles Dodgers. They are 101, 100, they've got 101 wins and 44 losses. So, yeah, they easily took the division, and they are just riding high in the National League right now, and they are just waiting waiting eagerly, anticipating their opponent for the playoffs, because that's where it's at for them. Their last 10 games, they've been 8-2. They just swept my Giants this weekend. They also kicked the crap out of the Diamondbacks earlier in the week. Mookie Betts, he had an insane week. He's just continuing to have a great season. But so is Freddie Freeman, who now is the league leader in batting average. I think he's got like a 331 batting average right now. So he took over the lead from Paul Goldschmidt. And just the Dodgers don't seem to fall off at all this season. Hopefully they do in the postseason at some point. But right now they are dominating the regular season, and they're just sitting pretty, waiting for the playoffs to start. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Houston Astros, overall record of 96-51, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Oakland A's and the Detroit Tigers. I keep talking about Framber Valdez, and he now has an MLB record 25th quality starts in a row. And so good for him. He's basically like the pitcher you don't really hear much about on their team. You hear about, obviously you hear about Verlander because he's been having a great season as well. He came back this week off the injured list, and he's back to having the lowest ERA in the league. So, the Astros, they continue their dominance, and they are also just waiting and sitting pretty for their playoffs. They did clinch a playoff spot this week as well, and they've almost got their division locked up. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Mets, overall record of 93-55, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've won four straight right now. They just swept the Pittsburgh Pirates this weekend. They also played the Chicago Cubs earlier in the week. Sometime over this weekend, in one of the games, the New York Mets pitchers, from start to finish, all nine innings, each pitcher that pitched that day, they came in and they had overall 20 strikeouts in one game between all the pitchers who pitched that game, which actually ties an MLB record. So their pitching just continues to dominate as well. And even though the Mets have they've felt like they've not been as consistent lately, they're still there. I mean, they're still at the top of their division, and they're still very competitive, and this pitching staff of theirs just continues to pitch their lights out, and their batting lineup is crazy as well. They just have no issue scoring points. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings, they have the Atlanta Braves, overall record of 91-55, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They just swept the Phillies this past weekend and kicked the crap out of my Giants earlier in the week. Actually, didn't kick the crap out of them, but kind of kicked the crap out of them. The Giants actually played them okay, but hey, their season's pretty much over, so who the fuck cares? You got to give it up to the rookie pitcher, Spencer Strider. This guy has had a phenomenal season. He just got 10 more strikeouts in his last start. Excuse me. Sorry, had to sneeze there. He had 10 strikeouts in his last start. And he is the first rookie for the Atlanta Braves to have 200 strikeouts in his rookie season. And he still has a couple more games to pitch this year. So he's probably going to add more to that strikeout count there. But the Braves, yet another team with great starting pitching, no real issues with offense, and they're just battling it out with the Mets. So it's going to be very interesting with this this National League come playoff time, as I keep saying, because all these teams, I mean, I just mentioned the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Braves, all three of them, strong starting pitching, great defensively, great bullpens, no issue scoring offense. So it's going to be crazy to see what happens between them. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Yankees. Overall record of 88-58, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Milwaukee Brewers and the Boston Red Sox. Aaron Judge, he's just continuing that MVP season. He had two home runs in one game earlier in the week. Then he had two home runs in one game yesterday. He is now up to 59 home runs, which actually is an AL record for a right-handed hitter. He's two away from Roger Maris's record of 61 home runs in the American League. He also leads the league with RBIs. And he's hovering about 301, I think 301, 302 right now for batting average. So he's kind of far off from getting the triple crown. It could actually happen, but I think it's going to take a lot because he's trailing Freddie Freeman and Goldschmidt, who have both had phenomenal seasons when it comes to their batting average. So I don't really see either of them falling off. And last I checked, I think he was in Judge was like sixth place. I think he was five other guys are ahead of him right now for batting average. So it'll be interesting if he gets the triple crown. Regardless, he's closing in on the AL home run record right now. And, Cole had a great outing the other day, and then they've got Anthony Rizzo back from the injured list. And it seems that every time Rizzo is out of the lineup, they really struggle offensively. And as soon as he gets back, that's when they get in their groove, because now the Yankees, they seem to be consistently winning again. So we'll see what happens come playoff time, if they're able to keep that consistent. When Rizzo comes back, they tend to get better. Offensively, at least. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the St. Louis Cardinals. Overall record of 87-61, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Cincinnati Reds and the Milwaukee Brewers. Albert Pujols, he is at 698 career home runs currently. So he only needs two more to hit that 700 plateau. So he is almost there. I think he's going to get it, even though we only have a couple more weeks left of the season. I think he's going to get it. He's got to get it. Come on. Somebody's just got to give him some gimmies just so he can get it. And then Jordan Montgomery. Ever since they made this trade with the Yankees for Jordan Montgomery, it's really changed both teams. For the Yankees, they've really fallen off. That's really when their struggles started, was when they traded away Jordan Montgomery. And the Cardinals really started to get better when they traded for Jordan Montgomery, and he has really been lights out for them. He's been just getting the strikeouts, and he's just been getting the wins, and he's really been a huge gem for them since the trade deadline. And then, of course, Paul Goldschmidt. He had a game-winning home run earlier in the week. And, like I said, Freddie Freeman took over the batting average title right now. But he and Goldschmidt are, I think Goldschmidt's just like 0.02% away from him. So, or 0.02 points away from him in batting average. So we'll see what happens with Goldschmidt. But he's just having a great season for the Cardinals. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 79-67, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. Ahmed Rosario, he is a dude who has just been having a great week for the Guardians. Earlier in the week, he had a career game where the game went 15 innings, and he had 4 hits with 4 runs, including the game-winning run in the 15th inning. So, the Guardians are just winning with a solid team. I mean, there aren't a lot of standouts besides, their starting pitching. They've got Bieber, McKinsey, and then they've got, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on their second baseman, shortstop. Oh, freak. I can't remember his name, but he's having a great season defensively and offensively. And then you've got Rosario coming out of nowhere, and then you've got Josh Naylor, who's also having a good season. So, the Guardians are just pulling these guys out of the woodwork, and, they're putting it all together. I mean, they do have a great manager in Francona, who's just known for putting this together, and, they could be a team you really got to watch out for in the American League come playoff time. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I've got the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 78-68. 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the New York Yankees and the St. Louis Cardinals. Their shortstop, Willy Adames, he's having quite the week. He's made a lot of plays, both on offense and defense. this week. And then Rowdy Tellez, he's having another good week. And then Brandon Woodruff continues his dominance on the pitching mound. He had 10 strikeouts in his start earlier in the week as well. So Brewers seem to have finally got their groove back. I don't know if it's going to be enough for them to make the playoffs, because currently they are on the outside looking in. I don't think they're going to win their division. They're way too far out right now for that. Right now, they're the closest team for the wild card, and I wouldn't be shocked if they end up knocking somebody out in the wild card, but it might be too little too late for the Brewers right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Chicago White Sox, overall record of 76-71. It's 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians. Man, Vaughn, he's been having quite the season for them. He hit a huge grand slam in yesterday's game. Then you also have Eloy Jimenez, who had he's really turned it on the last couple of months, but he had a solid week. And then AJ Pollock, who I've mentioned before a couple times, he seems to be this offensive force that we really didn't expect he was going to be, but he's made some huge plays for the White Sox, who are also making a little bit of a playoff run. I don't know if it's going to be enough for them. It might be too little too late for them as well, like it was, like I said, with the Brewers. But there's still a little bit of time for these couple of teams on the outskirts of the playoff spots. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings this week, the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 83-64. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays. Vlad Guerrero, he's just having such a phenomenal season, but also had a great week. Alek Manoah, their pitcher, he's quietly been one of the best pitchers this entire year. He's had a great ERA all season. He's great with the strikeouts as well. And he had a solid outing earlier in the week. Bo Bichette has really turned it on this past month. You know, he was the player of the week last week, or actually I think he was the player of the month. I can't recall, but he's really just been knocking him out of the park. And then George Springer also has been knocking him out of the park. So the Blue Jays holding on to that wild card spot with dear life. And speaking of the playoffs, just a little bit of the playoff picture right now, the way it's looking. The AL West, the Houston Astros currently have a 15-game lead over the Seattle Mariners, so they should be locking up that division any day now. I can't recall what their magic number is, but I imagine it's closing in pretty soon. Then the AL East, the New York Yankees currently hold a 5.5-game lead over the Toronto Blue Jays. Then in the AL Central, the Cleveland Guardians currently hold a 3.5-game lead over the Chicago White Sox. And then the wild card right now is led by the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Seattle Mariners, with the Baltimore Orioles 4 games back of the Mariners. Then in the National League, the Dodgers have already won the West. In the NL East, the Mets currently hold a 1-game lead over the Braves. And then in the NL Central, the Cardinals currently hold an 8-game lead over the Brewers. And then holding down the wild card spots are the Atlanta Braves, the San Diego Padres, and the Philadelphia Phillies, with the Milwaukee Brewers 2 games back in the wild card. So this playoff, you know, the playoff picture actually hasn't changed much. It's actually been pretty consistent, at least these last couple of weeks, especially since I've started updating you on them every show. But yeah, I really don't expect much change, other than I would say possibly the Brewers could snag one of those last wild card spots. But so far, I kind of feel like these are going to be the set teams in both the AL and NL. With the Astros leading the way as the top seed in the AL, and the Dodgers, of course, leading the way in the National League as the top seed. And then we'll go ahead and end today's episode with a recap of the Canelo Alvarez and the Triple G fight, part 3. This time, I think it was it didn't end in any controversy. I don't think there was any questions on who won. It did go the distance, as expected, because both of these guys, they are excellent boxers. Neither one gets knocked out. But as expected, and as pretty much everybody else expected, Canelo Alvarez, he did end up getting the unanimous decision. He looked... It feels like the Bivol loss really really set his mind right, because you could tell he was just ready to go in this one. You know, in the Bivol fight, he looked just off. He did not look like he was ready to go, and he just was not doing, he was not fighting in his usual manner. This time, he was ready to go. He was fast. He was quick. Triple G, he had not lost a step either. But I will say, as the fight wore on, you could tell that Triple G was kind of getting more tired and worn out than Alvarez, even though when you watch all three of these matchups between the two of them and they go 12 rounds, like, by the time you get to round 12, you're like, holy shit, how are these guys still going? Because you could tell they're both spent. But in this matchup, you could tell Alvarez, he really worked on his stamina, and he seemed to be less gassed as it went on. Triple G seemed to get more gassed as it went on. I think Alvarez got a few more good hits in on him, but it was a good fight. It was a good fight from both of them, and you know, now that we've had the three fights, Canelo, as far as the record goes, he's 2-1 in the fight. It's actually 2-2. He's got two wins and the draw in this, and then Triple G's got the two losses and the draw. But this time around, no controversy, and I'm happy with the end result. And like I said, I think this was one of the best trilogies in the history of boxing, just because both fighters are just excellent boxers. They give it their all. Neither guy gets knocked out. They both just fight so well against each other, and it's just always a great matchup between the two of them. And this time around, Alvarez got the better of him, and you know, we'll see what happens with Triple G. He hasn't announced any type of like retirement. I'm not really sure that's in the cards for him at this current point in time. He's never really hinted at that, as far as I've seen. Alvarez is probably going to be gearing up for his part two with Bivol and trying to avenge his loss and get that belt back. But like I said, great fight from the two of them. And so, yeah, that's today's show, the end of episode 69, y'all. So enjoy. We've got the two Monday night games tonight. So enjoy that. Enjoy the rest of the week of baseball. And I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.